Welcome to The Takeaway. Good morning on this Friday, July 16th. Miles O'Brien is here for Celeste Headlee. He'll be back next week. But did you happen to notice yesterday, at one point there were live cameras set up at the White House waiting for Barack Obama to react to the financial regulatory vote in the Senate, and live cameras at the Securities and Exchange Commission waiting for someone to come out, the Enforcement Division head to come out and announce the settlement on Goldman Sachs. And, of course, the live camera down in the Gulf was showing that the oil had been shut off there.
Interesting news flow.
Yes,
it was a
kind of a perfect storm. But on the financial story, the Goldman Sachs settlement was big. Wall Street giant agreeing to pay $550 million to the SEC in hopes of settling the fraud suit levied on the company back in April. A judge has to officially approve it, but it appears, at least as far as investors are concerned, which ran Goldman's stock up about 4% yesterday in after-hours trading. It'll probably
go up more. $500 million is viewed as good news.
I think
that's
part of it is some people believe the settlement is probably easy for Goldman. Other people, it's simply the uncertainty is gone, and that's a positive for them. Joining us now, once again, Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. You said, and it's a really key insight, Louise, and I hadn't thought of it until you said it, settlements are always about letting everybody win here. This is a win-win because it's a settlement, right?
That's right. You know, there's a lot of things here that people and investors feared might happen. So you've got to look at what didn't happen. So, you know, Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of Goldman, was not asked to leave or even to give up his chairman title. There were a lot of analysts out there who thought that might happen. And, you know, a lot of shareholders think he's done a good job and wouldn't want a change in management. So that didn't happen. They also did not appoint any sort of outside corporate monitor, which they might have in other cases. They've, you know, put someone on the scene to monitor the company, which, you know, again, investors don't really like the government intervening in companies. So that didn't happen. And then the other thing is, you know, people were seriously talking about fines over $1 billion. So even though $550 million might sound like a lot, it's really not a lot compared to what people were talking about as speculation.
So Miles' suggestion here a moment ago that investors ran the stock up because they feel like this is a slap on the wrist might be right.
That's right. It's also just providing certainty. You know, no one knew how long this could go on. And the other thing we all knew was that in the last couple of months, the SEC was looking at all sorts of other deals that Goldman did. And so we didn't know if some settlement came out, if it would include findings of wrongdoing and tons of other complex mortgage securities. And it did not. Now, that was one thing that was interesting yesterday. Goldman put out a press release and said that the SEC had looked at a number of deals and not recommended a case, trying to kind of say, look, we're in the clean. But people I've talked with, you know, close to the situation with the SEC said, well, pay attention to that phrase, a number of deals. It's not all deals.
I see.
So it's hard to know for sure if Goldman's out of the woods, but they're certainly past a huge hurdle.
So there still is some uncertainty. Remind us again, this is all about the Abacus transaction, the collateralized debt obligation that was created by Goldman Sachs for a hedge fund that wanted to bet against the mortgage market. How much of this money is actually going to compensate investors who were misled?
That's right. This dates back to the very end of the bubble, right as the housing market was showing cracks, and you had this hedge fund investor who was negative, who got to help design this mortgage security called Abacus. Problem is, there were investors who were buying shares of Abacus, notes in Abacus, and they thought it was designed by an independent party. They didn't know, according to the SEC, that you had this negative investor buying in. And so actually, $250 million of the settlement is going to those couple victims, which are RBS, the bank, as well as IKB, which was a bank in Germany.
Is there precedent for the SEC basically negotiating a settlement for two foreign-owned banks, the Royal Bank of Scotland and the other institution you cited?
You know, I'm not sure about foreign banks, but it is common that there's restitution in cases when there's some wrongdoing.
Right.
keep in mind the other $300 million in this fine is going to the U.S. Treasury, so, you know, to the taxpayers.
There you go. There is some suspicion, and I don't know the details here, that Goldman is going to have to, quote, re-examine its business practices and make sure it's doing something differently. How specific is that? How much will that be monitored, and how likely is it to change the way Goldman does business?
Okay, so that is definitely a classic example of some spin going on, some victory being called here in settlement fashion, because Goldman told the world a couple months ago that they would do this, that they were doing a big review of their business practices and appointing a committee to oversee it, and they told the Senate this when they had a Senate hearing to kind of calm the senators. So the fact that this is coming up again in this settlement as if it's, you know, is something new, you know, is a little bit of spin because this is something they were planning to do anyways.
If Goldman had been accused of fraud, there was some speculation yesterday that this would have had a reputational effect on Goldman's business. I mean, are they really avoiding something that could have been much, much worse if they'd been convicted of fraud?
So the real issue on the fraud is the potential private litigation, class action lawsuits, and other sorts of private cases that might have come, because if you can point to a settlement where there's more of an indication that Goldman committed fraud, that would put Goldman at a real disadvantage in court. So that was a number one concern for Goldman, to get that out, and they did. So that's a victory for them. As far as their reputation, you know, reputation is a very, you know, it's a thing in the air. It's not something you pin to one little legal term. And so whether or not they admitted fraud, I think there are a lot of people who formed their opinion of this situation while they were watching Goldman executives on the stand in Congress, and it may take a long time and much, much more than this settlement for people to reform their opinions.
Before we go, Louise, I mean, you are personally connected to this story. I mean, in many ways, this is a victory of traditional dogged journalism, of looking at something and seeing that it's just not right, and you know, pushing forward. How do you feel at the conclusion of this?
We did look at this deal very early on. It was a very complex deal, and some people said to us, well, you know, it wasn't different from what a lot of people did on Wall Street, but that didn't necessarily deter us from raising questions about, you know, was it right?
Well, and well done. Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Louise and many other people involved in the reporting of this story, and, of course, the settlement of Goldman Sachs, $550 million to the SEC. Thanks, Louise.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.